And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one right here. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we like to call Auburn. Straight across the border, what we once again get to call Fort Benning. Benning! And then there's big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, that's just the radio audience. All y'all that get out there in the whole wide world, go to the World Wide Web and pick us up on X and on YouTube and on live stream on our website and all of it. And then podcast us afterwards sometimes. Anyway, bottom line is, I say that to say we love all y'all. Thank you very much for making the show what it is. Okay, JP, your unvarnished thoughts. Elon Musk, Donald Trump. Before I poison the well with all my notes, tell me what your thoughts are right now. Where are we?
Well, so I think it's important to remind everyone where this conflict started, and it was just, you know, Elon's criticism of the Big Beautiful Bill, and that
we know of is where it started. Yeah.
Well, publicly where it started.
Sure.
And honestly, my opinion is, I kind of agree with a lot of Elon's criticisms on this bill. Now we can, that's a whole different rabbit hole, but just from the start, like if we're talking about where this started, I think Elon had some, you know, fair criticisms of the Big Beautiful Bill. And, you know, he felt like he did a bunch of work to cut spending and then they're just adding more spending. And so I thought that was a fair criticism at first. But then Trump, obviously, you know, with his response to EV mandate, I think that just is what opened Pandora's box. Because I think Elon felt personally insulted by that. It's almost like, oh, you don't really care about us increasing spending. You're just upset because your business got hurt. Like that. That's where I think it kind of got out of hand, and Elon took it way too far. Elon just needed to put the phone away, and you know, Elon's not very stable mentally. Like once he gets going, he just goes and goes and goes and goes. So I think I criticize Elon for going too far after that point.
I think I'll go back to one thing you said. I don't think the first personal attack was just Trump. I think the first personal attack was Elon with the Big Beautiful Bill, because he knows for a fact that that is the entire legislative agenda that Trump took a bullet through the ear to as he's been running on it for 2 years, going through lawfare, everybody trying to stop him. He gets into office. His mission in life right now is to get that bill passed. They got it through the minor, you know, majority they've got in the House. And then Elon attacked it, and he didn't just attack it. He came out and called it an obnoxious abomination. And that's like saying that thing you care about, that thing you're working for, that thing I stood next to you and said all these things need to happen. Screw that. It's awful, which is like a reflection on the man who's working on it.
Yeah. And I would agree. Why didn't Elon go out and speak against it when it was first brought to the House floor? Yeah, I would agree with that. Why try to sabotage it now after all the time we spent on it? I think that's fair. But just simply off of like principle and what he was, you know, criticizing, I guess from my vantage point, I'm like, I would be kind of pissed off too. If I see I did all this work and y'all are adding $2.5 trillion to the deficit.
Say that, but what happens if they don't pass those Trump tax cuts? Then everybody in the world's losing money.
I know. And that's kind of like where I said, I think that's like a completely different rabbit hole. That's, you know, very more complicated, but just bottom line, I think, you know, it started as simple criticism and then.
So what happens now? What happens with the relationship now?
I think I said this to you off air, like in 2 or 3 weeks, we could see Trump signing the Big Beautiful Bill with Elon next to him in the Oval Office as sort of a kumbaya, you know, everything's cool now. But I don't think we'll see that for a couple. I think it's going to take some time.
It's going to take some time to get the bill passed, period.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there were already a few skittish Republicans anyway who have now used this as their foil to become more skittish.
Yep.
And then there were some who were principled and already wanted new things anyway. I think Tommy Tuberville himself has even said he wants some more examination of the spending cuts. But that being said, that would be cool if they can get it signed and Musk actually came back to the table.
Yeah, I think eventually they'll make up, but I wouldn't count on it being anytime soon. It's going to be a couple of weeks.
I think it's going to take a while too. Even if they sort of get back together, I think it's going to be sort of like Dang, I keep going back to these music the analogies. Dave Lee Roth actually singing with Van Halen again, you know? Mm-hmm. There was this awful falling out. No one wanted to be around each other. And then next thing you know, he's singing with them, but it only lasted for a little while.
Well, they're never going to be best friends. I think there just may be a, hey, we're no longer mad at each other. And then they just go on about their business story. It's not going to be like, hey, Elon, here's a position in the cabinet now. We're
back. Yeah, that won't happen.
Like, it's just, I think it's just going to be bury the hatchet, move on.
Yeah. I think what's interesting to me, though, and I can't help but wonder what's being said in the background, but right now it is crickets from Trump's team, if you will. Nobody's chiming in, which I think is very telling. It's almost like everybody's like, just give him space, just give him space. But the people who would have to tread carefully are people like J.D. Vance and others, because they have official capacity. But Don Jr., not so much. Don Jr. has been an attack dog for his debt. Laura Trump have been attack dogs for Donald Trump for, you know, years. So they could easily be saying something, right, and they're not, which I think is very telling. And then I also look out there and I go, okay, where's Musk's mom? Because Mae Musk is not a wallflower. She's a very kind of engaging personality. And I don't know what influence she has over his life, but I do know she's in his life very much. And I wonder if mom's saying something like, son, mm-hmm. remember when you were 12, you did that thing? We talked about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't even wonder if she's in there going, son, stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, J.D. Vance put out like a, he put out a tweet this morning.
With Theo Vaughn?
Well, he put, so apparently he was in podcasting with Theo Vaughn while this was happening. But no, he put up like a generic tweet this morning talking about how he trusts Trump. So like kind of commenting on it without commenting on it sort of thing. But also what's funny, so JD was podcasting with Theo when this happened. Joe Rogan actually was podcasting with Cash Patel while this happened. And we got a live reaction of during the podcast of Cash's reaction to Elon's tweets.
How'd that go?
I haven't watched the clip in its entirety, but I think the quote I saw was Cash saying, I know my lane and that ain't it. So kind of just like, but literally like they were talking and Jamie, the producer, goes, guys, and put it up on the screen. And like, we got a live reaction from Cash and Joe. So it's pretty crazy.
Good for Cash though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's stability under fire, yeah, right there. Bullets come zinging at you and you didn't run away, but you also didn't like just freak out in the moment. Mm. I like that. So he said, that's not my lane.
He goes, I know my lane and that ain't it.
That's pretty funny. How about this though? I got to ask. Mm-hmm. So Cash Patel has eyes, like he should never play poker because his eyes, what did his eyes do? Did they get big?
I don't know. I have to watch the full clip during the break. I'll send it to you too. But no, I haven't seen, well, it's actually funny because I think they were talking about the Epstein files, like while this broke.
Oh my gosh.
So,
kind
of crazy coincidence.
Well, here's one thing I do know, and this is the part, I mean, so first of all, I said it in my monologue and I'd say it again, is that, I like the idea of there being peace and harmony, certainly. But I also am a big boy and I recognize that not everybody always gets along. But there's this thing called decorum and professionalism, and I want to see this handled with decorum in a professional manner. I want these guys to get themselves back together because the nation loves them being together. The right side of the nation loves them being together. But the part that really gets me, as much as I want to see, you know, the halcyon days of Trump, you know, having Musk over for dinner at Mar-a-Lago and them laughing together on the stage and enjoying each other's company. And you could see at times, I was watching a clip earlier of Musk being on stage with Trump at a rally, and the smile on Trump's face was extremely genuine. It was like one of those things, like he was just enjoying the moment. I'd love to see that back. I'd also love the fact that they got so much done together, because let's be honest. You've got Trump, who came into office and immediately brought Elon in to start doing Doge. And oh, by the way, he had astronauts that were still trapped in space. So he looked over at his guy and he says, how about you go rescue them? And they did. They sent, you know, the Dragon rocket up there and brought them home. And just like one thing after another is like, they get stuff done, man. And so the idea of them being at odds is just not good. We don't benefit from that. We also don't benefit because the left is loving this. The left has got nothing going in their way right now. We have been crushing the souls of the Democrat Party now for the last year. I mean, literally, it's been a year. I think it was a year ago. Was it a year ago next week that we had the debate where finally Joe Biden could no longer hide his infirmity. And at that point, the Democrat Party went into complete disarray. The circular firing squad started. They began, you know, just having complete freakouts. They had people bailing on them. Next thing you know, you had George Clooney wouldn't even support his guy anymore. And ever since then, the Republicans have had the Democrats not just on the run, but literally had them by the throat. And now all of a sudden, we've given them something to laugh about. Now all of a sudden, we've handed them a self-inflicted wound right when we need them to stay off balance. And we need, so I want it to go away, if nothing else, for that reason. And I'll be honest with you, it also ticks me off. You had libs out there for the last few months firebombing Tesla dealerships. You know what? Scratching people's cars up in parking lots. How dare you have a Tesla? Isn't that what y'all wanted, all you EV people? I mean, I thought you were into the Green New Steel. I mean, what the heck? The next thing you know, persona non grata to anybody on the left side of the spectrum was Elon Musk. And now they love him again. I love this, though. Fox News, I hold it here in my calloused former paratrooper hands. John Fetterman, Senator Fetterman, who Fox News points out has become somewhat of a maverick Democrat, was dissing members of his own party yesterday for suddenly backing Elon Musk during his feud with President Donald Trump. It says that Democrats have found an unlikely ally in Musk this week, given his public rejection of Trump's big, beautiful bill. And it goes on to say Musk has technically thrown a wrench into the Republicans' reconciliation process with his fiery posts. But Fetterman says about his own party, he says, the Dems, we've been dumping all over Musk and vandalizing Teslas or whatever, and now suddenly we might be more back into him. And he just called out his own people for being hypocrites. Republicans are seeing it too. I mean, of course we are. Tim Burchett, who, by the way, has become one of my favorite congressmen from Tennessee. Tim Burchett piled on the Democrats, saying it's kind of ironic to me that a week ago the Democrats hated Elon Musk's guts, and now they're basing everything they have on him. Yep. But that's the left. We have given them a cause celeb for the moment. We have given them relief from their own pain. We have somehow provided them with an opportunity to create wedge, and they're running with it. I don't blame them. I guess that's what happens. But we didn't have to give this to them, and I'm hoping we can take it off their plate like any second now. There are some changes going on, and I'll touch on a few of those when we get back from the break. But just right now, let's take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all, stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, so we're going right back to this topic we're on. Y'all text in if you want to. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. By the way, the phone system is back online, although they're having to process in our phone number, so we can't give you guys just the chances to call in at willy-nilly. We can have guests call, but we have to send them a special number to use. But our regular phone number is being inputted into the software base, has to be approved at the corporate level. Once that's done, we'll have you guys calling back in at whim. For right now, though, 833-68-RIGHT, we can still get your text messages. We got several right now. DJ from Huntsville says, if Elon Musk does decide to shut down his space program, do you think Trump would allocate more funds or give back to the funding of NASA? As of right now, I believe NASA is launching Artemis 3. So first of all, DJ, it looks like, and I've got an article right here in front of me that I'll get to in a moment that, I'll just do it since that was a great text. I'll just jump on it now. Piece I've got here from Fox Business, DJ. Musk swiftly backpedals after declaring amid the Trump feud that SpaceX would decommission the Dragon. So, clear indication that he got out there and somebody probably should have taken his phone away. Somebody probably should have said, take a breath, take a time out. Because he was tweeting things in anger, and everybody knows it was anger. You can look at it and tell. But he was tweeting things in anger that he recognized later on he really couldn't do. Every single one of his shareholders would have had a right to file suit in a shareholder derivative action if he's going to get angry on Twitter and shut down a major event that is under contract to the United States government. And oh, by the way, is pretty much next to the Russians, the sole means of putting satellites in space right now. So Musk had fired back in one of his posts, you know, one of the angry things that Trump said was maybe we ought to do away with government subsidies and contracts for Elon's companies. He comes back and says, well, then SpaceX is going to decommission the Dragon spacecraft immediately. Later in the same afternoon, NASA press secretary Bethany Stevens put on post on X saying NASA will continue to execute the president's vision for the future of space and work with our industry partners, hint, 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 to ensure the president's objectives of space are met, meaning we're not canceling your contract. A little bit later, Musk did an about face on Twitter. Somebody using the handle Fab25June or something like that said, it's a shame y'all are going back and forth like this. You're better than this. Cool off and take a step back. And Musk replied directly to that, saying, it's good advice. Okay, we won't decommission the Dragon.
Well, you know what's funny? I don't know if it was that tweet or there was another tweet similar where the X user had like 100-something followers. Like, it was a nobody that just commented on Elon's post that he replied to and was like, you're right, maybe we should make up. So this just random X user with like 100-something followers.
Is that the same one?
It was one of them. One of the tweets Elon responded to yesterday. Yeah, I think that's it. 525 June. Yeah. So I think that person is not, like, they're a nobody. And they just kind of responded. Just
maybe
to,
that's Musk's secret account where he talks to himself in the open.
But that'd be like me going on Elon's post, be like, hey, guys, make it up. And Elon be like, you know, JP, you're right, man. What are we doing? And it's just crazy.
That's what it is, man. It's Musk talking to himself. Or maybe that's his mom's account. And he knows it. and so, yeah, Fab is really. Fab is really Faye Musk. No, sorry, May Musk. That's right.
It's May Musk.
I thought I had a thing going there for a second. But yeah, so there you go. A DJ from Huntsville, just so you know, it looks like that. I anticipate the Dragon rocket's not going anywhere. I anticipate that the contract between NASA and SpaceX is not going anywhere. And I fully anticipate this is going to get resolved. But I will say this. There's one thing that was said yesterday that was like way beyond the pale. Like, good Lord. So somewhere in that mix, out of the blue, you get Musk texting out or tweeting out that the truth is that Trump is really in the Epstein files. And then he says the truth is coming out or something like that. And he says, have a good day, DJT. I mean, it was tacky. It was petty. It was awful. And what you also just did there is allegedly your friend, you just accused him in the public eye while everybody was watching of being a pedophile slash, you know, rogue individual who's willing to shut down evidence of his own pedophilia. That was so beyond the pale. That was like so out there. That's way away from policy and contracts and crap. And I don't know what's wrong with you and you've lost your mind. And all of a sudden you've got him saying, oh, by the way, the biggest controversy that the world can't stand not knowing more about is the fact that you're on the list of pedophiles. That's just, I mean, that was gross. But here's the thing. My lovely Charlene pointed out last night. Does anybody think for a second that the Biden administration would have sat on that for the last several years if Trump was in the Epstein files? Now, the problem is Joe Biden might have been too. I don't know. But the reality is that ain't no way in the world the Democrats had those files for the last few years. And by the way, keep in mind, they were being kept in the Southern District of New York's U.S. Attorney's Office, where they were prosecuting Trump, where they wanted his head on a platter, where Tisha, you know, what's her name? Letitia James was doing everything she could as the Attorney General of the state to vilify him. I got news. If they had a list with Trump's name on it showing that he was hanging out on Epstein Island, that would have come out a long time ago. Ain't no way in God's green earth they kept that one secret. All right, more to come. Family Feud. Give me your thoughts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. Hour number two on a Friday. We'll get you all the way to go home time. Y'all stand by. We're getting there. Hey, by the way, I will step aside real quick and do some breaking news. Breaking news right now is the Department of Justice, Attorney General Pam Bondi, is announcing right now in a live press conference that Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the guy who was sent down to the prison in El Salvador, what's it called, the CICOT prison in El Salvador, is back in the U.S. They extradited him back to the U.S. by agreement with El Salvador in order to face charges. And so he has landed on U.S. soil and immediately been indicted on criminal charges. The criminal charges, I don't know what they are, but I'm assuming it's going to wind up being human trafficking.
It was human trafficking.
Yeah. And that, by the way, that evidence is pretty damning. They've actually got witness testimony. The guy he worked for that paid him money to be a trafficker, the vehicle he was in when he was detained briefly in Tennessee. Abrego Garcia back in the U.S., and I suspect this is a dual-headed issue. One is we're gonna finish up this whole situation with Abrego Garcia and quit, you know, playing footsie with courts who want to try and impede his progress, Trump's progress. And then we're also going to show the Democrats what they had. And then at the same time, we're going to wind up deporting him. Because once he's convicted as an illegal alien, the grounds for keeping him here are even rougher for him.
Well, you mean we shouldn't just let a human trafficker out on the streets because he was apparently infringed on due process? Is that how it goes?
I realize we've had 4 years of that level of, you know, heartless, gutless compassion. But no, I don't think so.
I haven't seen any Democrats say, we were wrong, he's actually a really bad guy, we should, you know, put him in jail.
They're about to. Bobby from Huntsville says, wasn't Elon against the big green steel, which EV mandates was part of that? I believe he was. He didn't like the subsidy. Basically, what was happening was a lot of his own competitors in the EV market did not have to do everything he did. He put up capital. He had research. And granted, he got the benefit of some of these subsidies and things too, but not to the same extent that these startup companies were suddenly being flooded with millions of dollars to do things and then filing for bankruptcy. You had that electric bus company, Proterra. Proterra took millions and millions of dollars from the federal government. And then even got the federal government to mandate that school systems would buy electric buses, and then they went bankrupt. Elon Musk, on the other hand, has been what I would call a responsible individual in the EV market, and built something that people actually wanted, and didn't see the benefit in having his competition get a leg up just because they showed up on the day that the grants were being given out.
That's why I don't buy that narrative. Elon's on tape, like, so many times saying he's against it. So it's just like, I don't really buy it.
The thing that makes me wonder, though, is, and I saw a Ben Shapiro did a great dialogue on this. He said that one of the things that Elon has complained about is that the Detroit automakers are being spoon-fed back into survival mode now.
Yeah.
And the union base up there, which, you know, Elon Musk is not a fan of. The union base is getting all kinds of, hey, we're going to help you. We're going to boost you. We're going to do all the things. And he's looking at it going, really? I just built a multi-billion dollar company and you're going to give, you know, them a leg up, but you're going to take away my leg up. Let's all take it on the chin. How about that?
Well, and one of his many tweets from yesterday was actually something like that about how it wasn't fair that the auto industry, you know, like you just mentioned, is not getting their subsidies taken away, but EVs are.
Although I will say this, he's also apparently a story by Fox Business here. He's getting crushed right now in the stock market. Mm-hmm. So here's a story from Fox Business. Tesla CEO Elon Musk, his vocal criticism of the tax cut package has left the company's investors for Tesla in limbo as Musk and the president trade verbal barbs. So what happened? The market's always so finicky. The market is always reacting, you know, harshly to just mere speculative issues. The market gets jittery real quick. Well, they get jittery real quick when it's the president of the United States saying something. And so Tesla shares rallied up last month after, you know, having a couple of bad months in March and April, and everything was looking better, and everybody knew that Musk was leaving. Because, by the way, he didn't leave the White House because he'd been thrown out. The law said he could be a special government employee for 130 days, and the 130 days was up. So they gave him the key to the city, basically, and they clapped him on the back and thanked him for his time, had a big presser in the Oval Office and sent him on his way, and next thing you know, things went south. In the meantime, when he went south with Trump yesterday, he had the worst single day in stock history for Tesla. Said that, where'd it go right here? Tesla shares plunged over 14%. The slide continued in after-hours trading, sinking another 2.7%. They dropped a total of 16 and a quarter. Tesla stock is down nearly 20% now over the last 5 days, And that is a epic slide. In fact, I did see one headline. It was on, let me look at it. It's on Fox News right now, I believe. The headline is that Musk's net worth has plummeted $34 billion amid his feud with Trump. If that's the case, then he's not taking on the chin. He's getting shellacked right now. It's a little self-inflicted.
That validates even more, though, that this wasn't staged, because nobody's benefiting from this.
It's just money. When you have that much, it's just money. What's Elon Musk's net worth? Can you look it up? Is it like $200 billion? He's the richest man in the world. I know that.
$420 billion.
$420 billion.
Yeah.
You can't even conceive of the amount of money he has.
It's just numbers at that point. It's not even.
It's just
numbers on a screen.
It's like you wake up and go, where's the decimal point today?
Yeah.
I can't see it from here. The decimal point has moved so far to the right. The end result is, I think that all of us are the losers in this too. Got a great piece from Town Hall that says, Kurt Schlichter wrote it. Kurt Schlichter, I don't even often read his stuff. He's really solid. He's very snarky, and I mean that in the right way. I'm snarky too. But sometimes his stuff gets a little brutal. But I read it today, and I thought, no, this is really well written. He talks about how both of these guys are what he calls national treasures. Trump and Elon Musk both are national treasures, and I agree. And he talks about all the things that both of them have done. And you look at it, his words, Musk is a living legend. He's revolutionized, and I won't go through the whole thing, but just electric vehicles. He's revolutionized space travel. He's revolutionized Starlink with the internet. He saved free speech by buying Twitter with his own assets. Doge was a huge. But then he points out, but then so is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, a billionaire who risked everything to save the country he loves. A guy who's been through the ringer and gets what's possible within this political sphere. So he extols the virtues of both, but then he goes on to say, Musk at heart, and I said something like this earlier too now, Musk at heart is a visionary, an engineer. He envisions a result and then he creates processes to achieve it, and that's very binary. Either you succeed or you don't. Something works or it doesn't. That's not how politics works. Politics, he says, is about process. The outcome is often secondary. Sometimes that feels suboptimal, but the reality is it's not about enacting the perfect policy, program, or paradigm. It's about getting the best result. Elon Musk's success in the real world is based on refusing to compromise. He doesn't do anything halfway. And Trump was not much different when he started off in his first term. But when he built buildings, the building stayed up and got leased out, or it didn't. But now he's in politics. And politics is not binary, he says. Politics is poly. That's actually a great analysis right there. And I think it does shed some light on the perspectives of both men. But I'm looking at what's happened, and I think we're getting back to business. I think the spat yesterday is still out there. Speaker Johnson is saying that he's been trying to reach out to Musk, considers him a friend, wants to see it come back together. Chip Roy, I mean, here's the thing. Chip Roy is in the Freedom Caucus. If the Freedom Caucus is saying, we got to pass this bill, and Elon Musk, he says, I don't know where he's at right now, but you got right now Chip Roy saying, yeah, I get it. But he said, we've got to get this thing moving forward. I'm paraphrasing here, but that's where it is. And he thinks that Musk is actually reacting to the EV subsidies being pulled. I don't know. We'll see. I got a bunch of text messages. We're taking a break right now. I'll come back and get caught up. I want to hear y'all's thoughts on this. 833-687-4448. We'll take text messages and just dialogue it on down to the bottom of the hour. And then don't forget, bottom of the hour, we switch gears completely. Do a little JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. Christian from Decatur checking in says, regarding Musk and Trump, he says, I firmly believe this feud between Musk and President Trump is a marketing ploy. Said Musk has built Doge and it's self-sustaining, but during the process, his own assets were harmed. It's a marketing ploy between them to reinstate Tesla customers. That's a heck of a marketing ploy. Crash your stock while you're trying to grow the business. I don't know. But he says they're both immensely successful businessmen. Yes, they are. Matt from Madison says, hey, JP, I'll let you know that apparently there's a women's NBA. What?
Who knew?
Okay. So So, hey, by the way, JP on sports today, you might want to include that we just discovered there's a women's NBA. never mind that your mom and sister were at a WNBA couple of games last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that the Caitlin Clark League? Is that what that is?
Yeah, the Caitlin Clark League, yeah. The Angel Reese wannabe league. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, Elon Musk is worth $400 billion, so he has more at stake than any other person in the U.S. If the dollar collapses and we're on the path to that, if things don't change significantly, heck, we haven't even stopped overspending, let alone started paying on our debt. Jeff, I got nothing on that. You're right.
By the way, I just found this out yesterday. It's a quick little fact.
There's a WNBA?
There's that. But, apparently, we spent more on interest on our debt last year than we spent on defense, which is insane to me.
Is that accurate?
According to Ron Johnson, who's been like the main fiscal hawk in this whole thing, that's just...
Yeah, him and...
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve from Harvest, Alabama says, if my text line will open, says, not just the Biden and Tish James had access to the Epstein files. He said, I think it was collected late in Obama's second term, which means that Hillary and Kamala could have used it in their campaigns if there was a smoking gun there related to Trump. That's interesting. I would listen. Really? Hang on a second. No, I think that didn't the Epstein or wait, when was Epstein? It doesn't matter. That may be right. I thought he was arrested during the Trump administration. Was he not?
Well, let me verify.
You know what? He was. I think he may have been actually convicted of.
2019 is when he was arrested the last time.
But there was a first time when he was indicted on
and got a very, very.
He's a pedophile, basically, the first time around, mm-hmm. and he faced those charges. He was a sex offender. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brian S. from Huntsville says, so yes, Tesla stock is down the last couple of days, but I started investing when all the Democrats were celebrating that it was low and my shares are all still up. So Tesla was lower earlier in the year than it is now. It's up 76% over that 52-week low. There you go. Okay, buy low and then ride it out. Good job, Brian S. Thank you. Matthew from Washington says, hey, Phil and JP. Matthew from Washington State checking in with y'all. Happy Friday to all of y'all. On the note of Trump and Elon, they're two grown men that need to stop with jabs back and forth. They need to get back to being peaceful, continue to do what's right for the American people, stop giving the libs anything to grab a hold of. Y'all have a great weekend. You too, Matthew. We look forward to you moving back to Sweet Home, Alabama. By the way, update us on how things are going, the sale of your house. We'd love to know. Lisa from Tanner says, I love both these brilliant hotheads. I recognize the feud between them has the potential to derail much of what we elected Trump and de facto Elon Musk to accomplish. I'm praying for them both. Elon needs to find Jesus, and Trump needs more Jesus. That's a fair statement. What, you about to say something?
We got two billionaires with massive egos. Who would have thought they wouldn't be buddy-buddy forever?
Wait, they clashed?
Yeah.
They didn't always agree.
Like the most predictable thing ever, although it's unfortunate.
And isn't Trump old enough to be Musk's father? I mean, Trump's 80.
Yeah.
78. He's 78. How old is Elon Musk? Isn't he like 52? How old is he? No, I'm going to say, well, hang on, I'm going to guess. 47.
You were close. He's 53. 53. You were 1 year off the first time.
Okay. So, yeah, Trump's old enough to be his daddy. Bruce from Springville. Show some respect for your elders, young Elon. Bruce from Springville says, a man has to pick his battles. Musk didn't think first, and he picked the wrong one. I don't disagree with that. I think in the end, here's a statement that I believe is applicable here. In the end, only one of them was elected. In the end, both are powerful individuals. Only one of them holds the nuclear codes, and I don't mean he'd use them. I'm just saying that he's entrusted with that level of authority. In the end, yeah, Trump might be older, because I think at one point Elon Musk made the statement, he's only got 3.5 years as president. I'll be here 40 more years. Well, that was tacky. But at the same time, that doesn't mean a thing, because the next 3.5 years, Tesla could crash, SpaceX could go down, you know, the world can change. In the meantime, the guy who's making the policy decisions that prevents those things from happening is the one who's in the White House. So, just saying. Kim from Athens, what are your thoughts on this argument being for the purpose of seeing which Republicans are truly MAGA? Nice ideas. If there was a political agenda here, if there was a political agenda, I think the agenda would be more likely to basically show the Dems' level of hypocrisy and then to laughingly say, did y'all buy that? Did you really buy that? And then come back and say, we're fine, guys. That was all just to show the Dems for what they really are. But I don't think that's it. I think this is legit. I think we have two men who just got into it and the whole world got to watch it, especially since one of them owns a social. Well, they both own social media platforms. They both do.
X and Truth. Also, and let's just add one more thing. Elon is not a very mentally stable person, it appears, outside. He is on prescription for stuff like ketamine and other things, which I don't know.
Where'd you hear that?
Oh, it's very open.
He said it?
Yeah, it's very open about this. So I don't know if that played a role in it, but I mean, I think it's just unstable, you know, two big egos and one that's not very stable, and it's just what happens.
You know what? There's also a lesson here for life. Everybody should take a pause before you send the angry tweet.
Yep.
Because once it's out there, baby. It's just out there. Last two texts. We're going to a break. John from Huntsville says, hey, I think this little spat between Elon and Trump is going to be over on Father's Day when the two exchange very expensive Father's Day gifts. He says Elon will probably buy Trump the most expensive golf club set. Trump will probably give Elon his own personal golf course in his clubhouse. Fair. Kevin from Huntsville says, the tax cuts in the bill sunset in 2028. We're going to have to do this all over again. Why aren't they permanent? Kevin, I got to look at that because I was thinking that we were making them permanent. But I'll double check on that. Mike from Athens says it's smoke. The argument is smoke. Maybe. I think the argument is already fading. I think the reality is, my sense is that Musk is having buyer's remorse on having said all those things and wishing he could take some of them back. That's enough of that. That is enough of that. You can text in if you want to, but we're going to set the dipper aside. And right now, we're coming back from the break. Going to do some JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.